Hello world, this is Dr. Kulmeet Kunlis and welcome to this live podcast. Today we'll be discussing a very important topic, which is optimizing brain health, food and habits. You know, what makes us human is our ability to understand us and our environment. Without being known, without understanding ourselves and our surrounding, we will not be human beings. In this podcast, you will understand what makes us human, what are the forces or habits and foods which are in our lifestyle, which are robbing us of this vitality, and what are the solutions which, if we could do it today, we could live long life. So you will go through a detailed journey of your brain health. We will also discuss what brain is intended to do, how evolutionary it has improved, and what is the role of our food and habits and our daily routines, so that as human lifespan is improving and is increasing exponentially, we want to make sure our health span increases exponentially. What is happening here is medical sciences have improved significantly. Food has improved significantly. Sanitation has improved significantly. And we are living long life. But we are not having that much improvement or exponential increase in our health span. Lifespan and health span are two different concepts, and that's what we want to explore today. What is brain and why brain health is important? Only thing which makes us unique as Homo sapiens is our ability to understand us, ability to understand an environment, take in the information from outside, process the stored information in us, and create a reaction to it which is appropriate, and it is conducive to those conditions. That is what human beings are. Brain, unfortunately, is the least cared for organ in the body. It is magical. Your brain has more than 100 billion cells, and each cell is connected to between 4,000 to 10,000 different or other neurons. If you do the math, the number of connections which you have in your brain is more than any number you could imagine in this universe. It is estimated the number of synapses or the connections are more than everything in this world. So we have such a fascinating machine or organ in our body. And the most beautiful thing is it doesn't complain. And the brain itself understands and interprets everything which happens in our body. But if you cut your brain tissue, it doesn't have a pain fiber in it. So it is a very simple organ, and it has gone through evolutionary changes. If we go species back a couple of them, the brain or the nervous system is intended to action and reaction. There is a stimulus in this test. There is a stimulus in the environment. Our brain reacts to the stimulus. There is nothing in between. Human beings are unique. Say, for example, in Asian culture, especially the Middle Eastern and the Indian subcontinent. They say, no matter what you do, the snake will always bite you. Snake does not have a capability to understand the information. His life is governed with action and reaction, and which is a pretty much a story with every animal. Animal acts and reacts. It has no capacity to understand. It has no capacity to rationalize. It has no capacity to defer the reaction. It has no capacity to change, modulate the response. How does brain achieve this such a magnificent work? Let's understand the construction of our brain. Evolutionarily, we started with action and reaction. Then, when it comes to mammals, they developed second part of the brain, which is limbic brain. In the limbic brain, there is a emotions are being developed from action to reaction. Then when the action and reaction is happening, there is some touch of emotions. Say, for example, it is estimated whales, your dog, if something is changed, it responds. You could feel dog is sad. You could feel dog is happy. But it cannot understand math. It cannot understand your social circumstances. From limbic brain, now we have the mammalian brain. This has vast capacity. Through our five senses, we are getting all the information which is getting into our body. It is experienced and it is stored in form of connections. And memory we will discuss in a minute. How do you recall the things? Good, bad, ugly, emotional, any kind of thing which you have. It is stored when the information from our environment or internally which we conceptualize, when it flows to our system, there are certain cells which are beating in synchrony and the connections are being made. And those highways or pathways needs to be maintained. And that's how we store our memory. The memory is stored in those connection of different synapses. Stronger the emotional feeling of any action or reaction, more permanent will be the memory. As you recall, if somebody said something bad to you and it pinched you, you will never forget that. Even we get whole grudges since childhood. So stronger the emotional quotient, more we will remember. Next thing, if we repeat the things when we are in schools, colleges, repetition, if we keep on repeating the information, we are re-nurturing those highways or synapses. That's how we remember. So first function is body is a perceiving from the body, brain is a perceiving machine. From there, it has stored enough data in your brain through different connections. That is your memory. Then brain has, there is something in you which analyzes the input of information coming from inside and outside world in relation to your stored memory, which is your memory, and it analyzes and creates a response. That is your cognitive function or the critical thinking. Then, fourth thing it does is you always have a sense of self. If my name is Kulmeet Kaunlas, I have my identity of being self since I was childhood. It has been modified a little bit. I've grown more old, probably gotten more experience, but I've never forgotten who I am. this constant narrative, who I am, that is the fourth thing it does. So it is a perceiving machine. It is a hard drive for storing your past experiences and knowledge. It analyzes and it creates a sense of who you are. There is a fifth thing in you, which is seeing this whole drama happening. If you ever close your eyes and have experienced mindfulness or awareness, you see the fifth thing in you, which is seeing your memory being played. You see you are analyzing the things. You see that you're perceiving the things, and you see your sense of self. In Asian culture, we call ego. Ego has a different meaning in different contexts, but in this meaning, the sense of self. So what it makes you unique is these things: perception, memory, cognition, then sense of self, and self-awareness. Then one of the very important function brain does is emotions. Evolutionarily, the emotions are not designed to make us happy or sad. Evolutionarily, they were our radar system, and the goal here is to alert us what is going on in our environment. Emotions were supposed to make us unpleasant so that we could fight, flee, or freeze, so that we could weather that stimulus. So now this combination of these things, that is what we are trying to understand in this talk. When we talk about brain health, how do we understand it? We must have beautiful perception of our environment outside. We must understand ourselves, our inside environment, what is going on in your body. We are stranger to ourselves and stranger to everybody else. We even do not know what's happening in our knees. We do not know our breathing. We do not know our heartbeat. If you learn meditation and try to create self-awareness, this rhythm becomes very magical, and you will find a lot more peace in yourself. You will find that you get refreshed as if you have slept 6 to 7 hours with the 10 to 15 minutes of self-awareness or mindfulness or meditation. Ultimate unit of brain is zombie cell, which is a neuron. It is like any organ, it has made up of one specialized cell, and the cell which we in the brain is a neuron. Neuron has its body. From there is a long string rises that we call axon, and then the axon divided into very fine hair-like structures which we call dendrites. These dendrites make connections with another cells. The beauty is, no dendrite directly come in connection with the dendrite of another neuron. There is a space which we call synaptic cleft. And there are chemicals which are released in the synaptic cleft, which communicate and stimulate the neuron on the downstream or upstream, depending on what you are looking at it. So when we look at the brain, so ultimate unit is neuron. Neuron has a body, it has an axon, it divides into dendrites, it synapses with dendrites of and axon and body of another neurons, but it never touches anything. In between, there is a space which we call synaptic cleft. There are chemicals which are released, which are called neurotransmitters. And those neurotransmitters, the relative concentration of those neurotransmitters in different parts of the brain stimulate different kind of action, and that's what gives us different feelings, whether pleasant, unpleasant, angry, fear, disgust, all those emotional feelings which comes in, they come from that. So it is the ultimately when we reduce brain health, it comes to neuron from there, which is made up of body, axons, dendrites, synaptic cleft, then neurotransmitter in between. That is the ultimate unit of your brain. Now coming to, if we anatomically understand brain, if you look at, if I'm pretty sure we all have looked at the picture of brain. Brain basically has a frontal part, which is the most important and the latest addition to the brain, which is the higher cortical functions. This is where your all executive decisions are made. Your critical thinking, your decisions, and to do or not to do, everything happens over there. Then in the temporal lobe, this is where your memory is, and that is where your hearing and other sensations are. In the back of your brain, you have your vision, and on the top part, you have your sensory and motor, which is muscles and nerves. The whole body is mapped over there. And inside, we have the limbic system, which is very protected, and that controls our emotions, and that is our radar system. How does brain kind of accomplish so many acts? It's not that brain is this anatomical division of work which I just now described. That is just to help us understand brain does everything so redundantly. Every function is distributed all over the brain, and that is what is making our neuroscientists very puzzled. Like, they cannot go and study only one part and understand that this is how this thing is happening, because we know that these functions are concentrated in certain part of the brain, but brain creates redundancy and scatters the functions all over the body, all over the brain tissue. We tend to believe that when the brain is functioning, that we are only 10% of the brain was working. I think that's a myth that has been debunked many years ago with the functional MRIs. Even for the simple moving of your finger, there are multiple areas of the brain which are involved. So brain is a very, very active all the time. It's about 2 pounds of jelly-like mush in your skull. Metabolically, it uses 20 to 25% of total energy. And it prefers glucose. It can use ketones, but the preferred fluid, the fuel, is glucose. And the way it gets is through the blood vessels. So as we are building a theme, ultimate unit of brain is a neuron, which has a cell body, axon coming out of dendrites, synaptic cleft, neurotransmitters. Because if once we have to understand how brain health gets impacted, we need to microscopically look what are the individual components of the brain is and how they all are affected with what we do on a day-to-day basis. You know, why we have all these domains? We used to think, or in the past, there was a big thought process, conscious mind and subconscious mind. Conscious mind is your frontal lobe. which is a very small processor. It's a 40-bit processor. It can hold very small chunk of information and can process it. That is why our brain cannot multitask. Our brain cannot do too many things consciously. But if you look at brain as a whole, brain is a very important organ, but very smart one too. It is, after all, the brain. Anything you do repeatedly, whether a good habit or bad habit, it automates. If you do something wrong long enough and frequent enough, when the brain automates it, you do not have to do that again. You will keep on doing the wrong habit over and over and again. Say, for example, in primary care offices, the biggest challenge in when we are looking at patients' health risk assessment is, in our society, is soft drinks. They are rich in sugar. These are empty calories, does not have any nutritional value. But everybody's hooked onto it, and they keep on doing it and found it more and more addictive. Even it has been estimated that it is more addictive than cocaine. So why do we do this one? And the beautiful part is, every individual I talk about 15 times a day, they all know that they shouldn't do that, but they're doing it unconsciously. And that is what next thing which we want to bring it in. What we're perceiving the information, storing in the form of memory, analyzing it, checking with our emotions, checking with our self-identity. At the end of the day, brain has to understand the information, and based on frequency and the emotional quotient, it has to decide whether it is going to automate it or it's going to forget it. That is the main part this brain does. Your ability to automate or not automate. Now, when we are assessing, or when you want to know, or when you go to a doctor, we are trying to assess your brain health. How do we do that? We will be assessing your perceptions. Like when you go to doctor's office, they check your vitals, they check your, they touch your feet, hand, this thing, they ask you different questions, they check your muscle grip and all those things. That is where they are checking your perception. Then they ask you certain questions, whether you remember your medications, whom you call, name of your children, grandchildren. That's a very common question we ask. That where we are checking your memory. Then we will tell you something, and we will ask you that, we're going to ask you in a minute whether you could recall it. Then we try to understand your emotions, whether you are feeling happy, you are feeling depressed. That's where we are checking your emotional domain. Then comes to is, we will ask you about your living condition, your children. That's where we are checking social domain. So all these things which are happening, when you talk about brain health, it is about making sure that your memory is intact, your perceptions are intact, your sense of self is intact, you are not fearful and depressed, and also you have the ability to analyze. Then brain has to output this information. All this intellectual information, how one human being interacts with another human being is through language, whether spoken language or written language. So that's why sometimes we give you some task to solve some puzzles, we give you some tasks to draw certain things. We are basically testing your written language skills. And then when you're talking, how you talk, what's the content of your thought, we are testing your spoken language. So that's basically we are trying to do that part. And you must keep, or you must have a good balance of all these domains. As we are aging and we are becoming more and more unhealthy, we are losing these functions at a very early age. And that's why we are finding that we have a lot of perception issues, both physical and emotional. We have memory issues. We have language issues. All these things are getting worse. What is going to improve this? How we are going to be able to meet this challenge? Because the challenge is we are living longer. If we are going to live longer, we are here in a body and we are losing our intellectual functions. We have a problem. What maintains the ultimate unit of your brain? That's a neuron. Neurons are not fixed. We used to believe in the past that the number of neurons which we have, they are fixed, and we lose roughly about 10,000 neurons every day. But that has been debunked. We have neurostem cells in two areas of the brain, and if we do right, which is eating clean, exercise, and all other things which we are going to discuss as we go along, your brain can produce more brain cells, and you are not doomed to X number of cells which we are born with and then we are losing every day. So that is the process which we all need to understand. And then we also used to believe these connections, when they are lost and certain part of the brain has lost function, we cannot replace it. That also has been debunked. Now with the new neurosurgical techniques, operations, people who have been paralyzed, they are able to walk. People who never had sensations in their legs and hands and feet, they could feel it. They can, with the nanotechnology and biotechnology, they are even doing experiments to restore your brain function in different parts of the body. But what we need to do here is we need to give our brain a better chance, so that when these technologies improve and mature, we are here. But this ability or the change that from there we ever believed that our brain cannot heal itself, the brain cell this cannot be this thing, cannot improve, that is wrong. Now, our system is very flexible and our brain can change, it can modulate, it can make more cells. So it's very plastic. We used to believe that it's a bony. It's not bony anymore. We know for a fact our brain can change, and so has us. So what maintains a good functioning brain cell or a neuron? It is good supply of blood, which is bringing nutrition. And that brings to cardiovascular health. You must have a good pump, which is your heart. The channels which take the blood to your brain, they should be clean. And what clogs it up and what it does is high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, very rarely familiar diseases, lack of exercise is the main. Second, around your axon, there is a sheath. It's a fatty sheath, which is like a wire. We have electrical wiring in our house and there is a plastic sheath. The same way our neurons have a sheath around it, which is we call myelin. And those myelin sheaths protect the current flowing through the axon so that it doesn't crack, it doesn't get passed on to the areas which is not supposed to be. Then your dendrites, they also depend on good nutrition coming to your brain. Next is your neurotransmitters. These are the chemicals which determine what is the state of your mind is. If your food is deficient in certain food products, those neurotransmitter concentrations will go down. It will lead to both intellectual disorders, emotional disorder, and physical disorder. Remember, body or mind are connected. Whatever is happening in the body, that determines what happens in the brain. And whatever changes in the brain happen, that determines what is happening in your body. So body, nothing works out of context. It's a symphony. It's like an orchestra. If one piece is not playing well, the other piece will go bad, and the whole output of the whole orchestra will be chaotic, and it will not be in synchrony with the way it should be. Next, we will discuss what are the risk factors which affect the nutrition to the ultimate unit of brain, which is neuron. As I said, brain cell need steady supply of energy, and it's a very energy hungry machine. It consumes about 20 to 25% of your total calories, which you consume every day. It needs proper channels. So your food must provide continuous and adequate supply of carbohydrates, glucose or ketones to your brain on 24-hour basis. Because if this doesn't work, you are doomed. Now let's see our food. What are the changes which you have to do conceptually? You need to eat kind of foods which provides steady, continuous supply of energy. You cannot eat those crash foods or processed foods which gets into your circulation quickly, raises to the levels of these carbohydrates to the toxic level, and then go down and left you fatigued, tired. Have you noted that when you eat junk food, why you have a kick quickly and then you crash? This is because your brain is not getting continuous supply. So we need to change our food. Then the myelin sheath around your axons, so they do not pass the current where they're not supposed to. We need to make sure we take care of the food which nurtures and improves the myelin sheath. Then we need to eat the food which is good for neurotransmitters, which provides the raw material for our neurotransmitters. We must do that part. Then we need to keep our system healthy so that it can provide and push through our circulation, which is your regular exercise. Then you need to maintain the internal harmony in the body. Brain, not only in addition to all intellectual functions which we talked about, perception, memory, sense of self, critically analyzing, and emotions, brain also has fundamental responsibility to control your internal environment in your body and every organ through hormones and autonomic nervous system. If your brain is sick and is not fed, it will interfere with all your hormones in the body and your autonomic nervous system, leading to multiple changes in the body, leading to you being sick. This has to be taken care of properly. Now let's elaborate. These are, so far we have been talking about the risk factors. The risk factors are improper nutrition, weaker cardiorespiratory status, poor control of our emotions, unexamined daily routines, and brain's habit of automating anything good and bad over and over. Brain does not guide us. We have a sense of self, critical analyzer in us. We need to nurture that. And if you understand yourself and you try to develop that faculty, you will find you do not have to fight the cravings. You will change yourself. As a human being, we all have five domains. And I have not been able to find better explanation to explain brain health. First domain of your life, which we all know each other, is through our body. Second domain of life is our emotions. Third domain of life is our cognitive or our thoughts. Fourth domain, which is our personal GPS, is spiritual life. And fifth thing is the social environment. Every human being's construction is through what I have understood being a physician for last 25 to 37 years is every time I have tried to diagnose or try to understand myself and my patients is through five domains. You pretty much, when you start interacting with a patient, you can immediately find out where their problem lies and you could guide them and treat them properly from there. Physical domain. If your body is not healthy and you are not trying to do everything healthy for the body, your brain will get sick. Body is designed to move. You need to provide proper nutrition. When we talk about brain, we need to provide foods which are providing steady stores of carbohydrates, which are complex carbohydrates, which your body is slowly digesting and improving. Certain foods brain likes more than others because not that the brain has a choice, has a aversion to something or likes something. It is because brain is trying to come up with a steady source of energy supply for it. So it likes anything which provides him steady source of food or carbohydrates. Second thing your body needs is physical activity. We must move. Every disease which I have understood, it comes back to proper nutrition, regular exercise, and then stopping what we shouldn't be doing it. We should not be smoking. We should not be drinking. We should not be doing any other recreational drugs. We should not be consuming processed food. We need to stick to nature the way nature intended to be. I personally have gone through this journey, but 2 years ago, I had my own health challenges and I applied all these changes without trying to change drastically anything. Went back to drawing board and changed everything the way it intended to be. And I have been able to lose about 27 pounds of weight without knowing what this thing is. My blood test, my physiological biomarkers are 30% better what it was 2 years ago with just lifestyle change. So it works and I'm living proof of it and I want to continue to improve and continue to do the things which needs to be done. Next comes in is your emotional domain. What your emotions need is sense of pleasantness and it comes from social interactions. We are worried about the things which will never happen to us or we are worried about the things which do not exist. Say for example, how many Facebook friends you have, all those social media thing, all these things do add a lot of stress. take care of your emotions. Cognitively, your brain needs stimulation. Our society is chained. We are a lot more digitally connected, but we don't read or understand. We are just acting and reacting like animals. We need to understand what's being said and respond accordingly and appropriately. That has been a major change which we need to accomplish. We must read good books. Reading, writing is same what physical training is for your muscles. Write journal. Let's start writing letters to each other. Even if we can't write the letters on a pen and paper, let's type up the letters or emails to our friends and not let ChatGPT write the things for us. Social. Every domain of life improves if you have a secure social environment. And your environment or the social environment is made up of only five things. And thanks to Dr. Joe Dispenza, he has a book, I have never understood my social environment better than what he described. He described beautifully, once you come out of your body and if you look around, everything around you is made up of five things. Other people, places, things, time, and events. There is not a sixth thing in our environment. So take care of other people. Take care of other places where you belong to you. Time, things, and events. Now, what are the foods which your body likes? Or especially what your brain likes? Brain need food which is a precursor of constant supply of energy, vitamins, and raw material for your neurotransmitters. And it lies in a balance. These days, we are doing a lot of crazy diets, keto diet. We're going to the extreme from animal to totally vegan. There is nothing on the extremes. Majority of benefit lies in the middle. Your food primarily needs to be bulk by the plants, which include vegetables and fruits. Second, legumes, whole grains, meat to taste, and healthy fats, especially omega-3 fatty acids. Your brain specifically strives on omega-3 fatty acid, which is abundantly present in sardines, flaxseed, and salmon. If you add these changes to your diet, your brain will thank you for getting all these things. Next is vitamins. Your brain needs both vitamin D, because vitamin D controls calcium, and calcium controls those synaptic cleft, what is happening, how much neurotransmitters are which are being released. Further, the precursor for neurotransmitter lies in a lot of animal foods in moderation, whole grains and legumes, which are also a source of trace minerals. So if you go to balanced diet, predominantly plants, sensible portion of meat and fat, whole grain and legumes, you will provide your brain healthy dose of energy, neurotransmitters, and your brain will continue to function and serve you for a long time. Exercise. You must exercise on daily basis, 30 minutes, 5 times a week minimum, preferably 7 days a week. You must manage your stress. You must sleep 7 to 9 hours. These are the recommendations no matter which way you go. If you stick to basics, your heart, your lung, your kidney, your gut, your constipation, your brain has the same theme which is running over and over. Balanced food, moderate exercise, manage your stress, and then create some time for yourself. I'm myself guilty of not following the last part, but I'm changing and I'm going to continue to improve and be a model citizen for the same. We know for a fact that if you do change your diet and the way I explained, you will live longer. And I think your both lifespan and health span will improve. Our lifespan is improving because of everything else other than us. Our health span can only improve if we change ourselves. And these changes are subtle. They can be done. And I am doing myself and reaping the benefit of being better than what I used to be. But you must continue to improve the things exponentially on a daily basis. They say if you improve 1% every day of what you were yesterday, you become magical and things start improving significantly. We conduct surveys in our office, and the first question was, how does physical activity affect brain health? Answer is very simple. Once you exercise, what do? When you exercise, you improve function of your heart and lung. It sends oxygenated, more pure blood to your brain, and your cells become alert. They can function better, and they could compute or do all the activities what you want to do that part. Next question was, what is the role of diet in helping with the cognitive functions? Diet is the one which is going to provide your brain with a constant source of energy, neurotransmitter precursors, vitamin D, and trace minerals. So your balanced diet is very, very important. And the point to be emphasized is whole grains, legumes, complex carbohydrates, healthy fats coming from salmon, sardines, and flaxseed. Nuts. Almond has a lot of trace elements, including magnesium, which plays a very critical role in your cognitive function. Next question is, can mental exercise prevent cognitive decline? Absolutely. It is proven over and over. If you keep your brain active and get involved in intellectual exercises, your brain function improves all domains. Your memory will improve, your perception will get better, your sense of self will be better, you will be able to control your emotions much better, and you will be able to analyze yourself better and inside environment better, and the external environment will be better. How does sleep impact brain health? It is a very interesting question. Remember, sleep is not a passive process. Actually, our brain goes in a repair mode like the rest of the body, but it is very, very active. Sleep is the period when it makes new connections which you have made. It nurtures them. It keeps them alive. If you are constantly sleep deprived, you will have a poor memory, poor attention, and you will make poor decisions leading to complications, and you will have to pay for the consequences. What are the early signs of dementia? What does brain does? Brain is a perceiving machine. It stores all experiences and knowledge in the form of memory. It analyzes input of information coming from inside environment and outside environment. It checks on our emotions and it checks every organ in the body and create a holistic picture of what's going on. When we talk about memory or dementia or memory loss or dementia, you will have the first intellectual part is you become totally inattentive. When you do the things, you need to focus all your resources or faculties on something to get this thing started, which is called attention. And when you hold it for a certain period of time on that focused part, that's called concentration. From there, when you are attentive and you're focused and concentrated, then you could perceive your social, internal and external environment. You could check in with your emotion and memory, and you could create a response in the form of language, in the form which is spoken or written, or doing some actions or emotional responses. When dementia happens, all these, depending on which state of dementia you are, you will have the problem. Initially, people become indifferent, insensitive. They start losing attention and concentration. Then they start becoming forgetful. The older connections, like the one which has been nurtured for years and years, they may be able to remember your name, your older memories, but they will not remember what they ate yesterday because they cannot control that part. We have created a full dedicated video on dementia. I will link it into the description. And if you want to understand more about memory loss and dementia, I recommend that you should listen to that video. We did a very good job and put all the resources together. But you will start losing memory. Then as dementia progresses, your other domains, your sense of self, you start forgetting yourself. You start forgetting everything and get into oblivion. And that is a very painful act. A human being which was so vibrant, moving the world upside down, suddenly start forgetting itself. We need to ensure that we do everything right so that we do not develop memory loss or dementia. Next question is, how does stress affect our brain function? What is stress? Let's understand that part. Whenever we are stressful, meaning our physiology is altered, and how brain affects this one is, brain has connects with your body through two systems. One is the autonomic nervous system, which has two arms, sympathetic and parasympathetic, and through hormones. Whenever you are stressed out, your all the internal controls or your homeostasis is screwed up. Your hormones are imbalanced. Those hormone and autonomic imbalance creates or changes for every organ's physiology. And that leads to, if it's a short term, it will go away without any problem. But if you are stressed continuously, year after year, it will affect your everything. Say, for example, we went through pandemic. It was very clear the patients who had established history of depression or they had neurotic personalities that they worry about everything, whether it's going to happen to them or not, they had very poor prognosis. They had all the complications of COVID-19. But the patients who were naive, didn't know much, they actually suffered very little and they were able to take care of the complications. our stress response, both harmonically and also autonomically, is designed to handle short-term acute burst of stress. Evolutionary in jungles, the stress was designed to prepare your body to fight, flee, or freeze. And when the stress is gone, you are back to your normal physiology. In our society now, we are continuously being bombarded and we are continuously under stress. Our whole physiology gets altered and that makes us sick. Next question is, what are the effective strategies for improving memory? Only stress D is provide your brain the raw material for it to continue to function properly. That is your balanced food. Don't drink, don't smoke, avoid all processed and sugary diets. Have good source of protein, healthy fats. And then interact with the people, read. There are a lot of apps on your phones now which you could use for brain stimulation. Sudoku, playing chess, where you're challenging your brain. If you do that, you will halt decline in your brain functions. I want to make sure when we talk about brain health, don't think brain health as memory loss. That's why I have repeated multiple times different functions which brain does. So brain is dementia is not memory loss. It involves the whole spectrum of the things. Next question is, how does aging affect brain health? That is an emerging field and a beautiful question. Aging has something to do with decline in function, and the jury is still not out, and we are understanding how aging affects. But aging affects different individuals differently. My father is 89. His body is weak, but intellectually he could remember 16 digits of all of his bank accounts. And I was in India. I gave him different phone numbers to remember. He could remember everything. Intellectually, aging has not even affected us. How much aging will affect you depends on A, genetics. Number two, how you have lived. What kind of food you have eaten. Have you exercised? What are your vices are? So aging definitely leads to certain decline in function. But if you are doing all these right things with diet, exercise, stopping smoking, stopping drinking, and all those issues, you will find you could continue to replete brain cells. And that concept is coming over and over. That's why exercise not only help you with your body, it's you're also having your brain stem cells produce more neurons and you're maintaining and helping to preserve your memory. Next question is, how does various medical conditions influence your brain health? Remember, brain or any organ in the body does not work alone. Everything is connected. If something is wrong within your body, say for example you have a heart attack, your heart muscle is weak, it will not be pumped enough or adequate or required amount of blood to your brain and you will start developing mental fog. If you have COPD, smoker and COPD, your lungs will not be able to get enough oxygen from your environment and send it to your brain. It will affect it. If your kidneys are not filtering or liver is not detoxifying, all those poisons will accumulate in your blood and will go to the brain and it will alter the function of the brain. everything is connected. Next question. How can technology aid in monitoring and enhancing brain health? Technology can help. A, we need to use technology for what is intended. Our phone devices come with reminder system. We could set up the reminders to eat right, shop right, so that we are putting right material into our body. It can create alerts so that we don't get wrong triggers to drink sugary drinks, processed foods. We should stop smoking, alcohol. All those things can be programmed in your technology. Further, a lot of apps which we talked about, you could do a lot of mental exhausting activities on your smartphones that which will help you to keep your brain stimulated. So technology will improve. Now there are nanotechnology and biotechnology where they are making cells which are microscopic. They will be able to direct and send them to certain parts of the brain where you have lost function, and they will be able to function like robots in your brain. This is not a science fiction. These experiments are being conducted. Nanotechnology and biotechnology, those procedures and things are happening as we are talking. Man has gone significantly in improving technology part. What I am finding it out in my little experience as a primary care physician is we need to make sure till we must be around in this world in a condition so that when these technologies come to fruition, we are there to take advantage of them. The same thing is happening in the, say for example, orthopedics. Lot of technologies already been processed how to regrow your cartilage. Yes, some trials are not as conclusive yet, but they know the processes why you are losing all the cartilages in your joints, how you could regrow and improve. Just imagine a day when with lifestyle you delay or prevent the loss as long as you can, and then with the injection or a molecule or a pill, you're able to regrow your cartilage. You will not have knee pain, shoulder pain, ankle pain, hip pain. All those things will improve. So we must be there when these technologies improve. And those were the questions which have been asked. What are the advancements which are happening in healthcare sciences which will improve? I think the biggest, when you talk to the brain and especially neurodegenerative diseases, those are the bigger questions which are being answered through nanotechnology, biotechnology, and now the surgical techniques from cutting with a knife, with the computer generated maps and with ultrasound waves, we can do a lot of surgeries. We call it gamma knife. I have 3 patients. Their life was totally disarrayed due to movement disorders, but they were able to get those precision ultrasound surgeries and they can now walk, talk, feed themselves. It is magical. When I went to a medical school, if somebody would have told me that in my lifetime I will see, it would have been a fantasy. Now I have seen my own patients. I send them and those things get done so beautifully and they can improve. Next question comes in is, how does environmental factors affect brain health? What is our environment? Environment is what we eat, drink, breathe. If our environment is polluted, our brain will not get enough oxygen. If his food is not proper, it will not get raw material. So everything is connected. Our environment is no different than us. Our environment is our extension. So we must continue to be working towards improving our environment, both personal environment in this body, our relationship with our family and others, our community, and a whole world as a whole. Next question is, will brain will be able to replace our brain? I think that question is above my pay grade. I think I'm not qualified to answer that question. I have debated a lot about that, but I think I am not qualified to make that thing. What I'm reading is all the computer systems so far had a linear thinking. You give them one command, it does one. It can think linearly. Now with invent of artificial intelligence, it has changed everything. Now artificial intelligence can have a context. It can think parallelly. It can think laterally. But I don't believe I am qualified to make a decision. Next question was, what are the blood tests one should get done to A, understand their brain health and optimize? I don't believe there is a special test you need. What you need to have is special, the regular tests, which includes your chemistry, which tells you the function of your liver, kidney, electrolytes and trace elements and vitamins and minerals, your cholesterol, diabetes, which will tell you your overall risk burden to develop further complications in your brain. Another question was, what is a better test, or is there any test radiologically can be done to predict Alzheimer's disease? Answer is twofold, yes or no. But there is no specific findings, as brain distributes its function all over it. So these studies can be helpful. You should talk to your physician based on your condition rather than I'm giving you any blanket statement. But what I would say is, in your diet, make sure your diet is rich in omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D, magnesium, zinc, and all other trace elements. If I have to summarize this, our discussion today, we need to move from our lifestyle to risk factors, understanding those risk factors, and coming up with strategies to improve our brain health. This is how I would say. Cornerstone of proper brain health is diet, which provides steady source of energy, high in quality protein and quality fats, providing us enough raw material for our neurotransmitters, vitamins and minerals, regular exercise, avoiding other risk factors like lack of exercise, smoking, drinking, recreational drugs, making sure we have social stimulation, and also we are involved in some kind of cognitive work. I hope from this discussion you will be able to put in these changes into your lifestyle. Last question was, what are the superfoods for the brain? If I have to pick, my pick for brain superfood is salmon, walnut, sardines, all berries, broccoli, almonds, legumes, and whole grains. I think they will provide you with proper raw material. What are the things I should avoid, which we should all avoid, is processed foods, sugary drinks, juice, milk, sweet tea. And if we could add regular exercise, we can keep or improve our health span and lifespan. I hope this discussion was helpful and you are more informed. Thank you very much for giving us attention. We conduct this session twice a week, and our goal is to be a resource for you to help. Rather, I have one request that you should comment on our content so that we get your feedback and we improve. In these live sessions, our goal is not only to give you information, we also want to improve with you. Let's team up together. Let's change ourselves and have a long health span and long lifespan. Thank you very much.